through immersion. According to the Bible, water baptism is a symbolic act whereby a new Christian identifies with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Water baptism is a public profession of a person's personal repentance and faith in Christ. It is also a way of giving outward testimony to the inward work of God. So, what does water baptism signify? When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God baptizes you into Christ. That is, He immerses you into Christ. And you live there, and that is how we gain salvation. So you hear Christian colloquialisms like, you know, the blood of Christ covers me. Or, you know, you've got to cover that prayer with the blood of Christ. This is the symbol of immersing the Christian into Christ. So we become a new creation when we receive Jesus Christ. We don't become a new creation in our body or our flesh, that is the outside person, but there's something on the inside that changes, the spirit, the soul, the thing that drives us, the thing that lives eternally beyond us, the thing that truly is us, lives on. And that is the part of us that is immersed into the blood of Christ, that is baptized into Jesus. That is the part of us where our sins are forgiven, our spirit is quickened, and made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you now have the ability, or we now have the ability to communicate with God. We have the ability to hear His voice, to dialogue with Him, to talk with Him and He with us, because we've been baptized by God into Christ. Water baptism symbolically identifies us as a new creation in Christ. By going under the water, we illustrate that the old man is dead. Okay? Let me just explain it like this. If I take any one of you and bring you up here and put you down in the water and hold you there, you will die. Because you can't live underwater. None of us can. We're not made for that. In the same way, we're not made to live in a tomb, in the grave. That's not what the human being is made for. So we put the human being in the water as a symbol of them being dead. Dead. Now the Bible teaches us that the soul created in God's image will rise from the body. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, it will rise to life. Those who do not believe will rise to an eternal separation from God in a place that Jesus Himself, Jesus the one who rose again from the dead, that Jesus who talked about heaven when He was here on earth, so He's the only one who's kind of seen both sides. And He compared the place that is not with God as the city garbage dump. He didn't talk about it as being annihilation. He talked about it as a place where the fire constantly burns, where the worm doesn't die. He talked about where there's constant decay going on. I'm telling you, I don't want to spend eternity like that. And I don't think anybody does. A lot of people have the picture of hell as a place where, you know, you get together with all your buddies and you drink beer. Jesus doesn't describe hell that way. He describes hell as isolation, being alone forever. That's enough about that place. Because there is another place where it describes the streets shining like gold, pure gold. A place that talks about gates that are as large as, or that are made of single pearls. It's a place where God dwells. When God is the very light, there's no sun there, no, you know, S-U-N up in the sky, because God himself illuminates it. So there's no shadows in heaven, because up here on the platform, we've got all these lights coming from all these, so I got shadows going this way and this way and this way. Up there, God illuminates us 360 degrees, 4D. I'm telling you, the sun is, the light is shining from every direction, and that's how it is in heaven. It's where God is. It is the good place, as Hollywood says, and that is where we want to go. If you haven't received Jesus Christ, you won't go there. Because Jesus described himself as the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
When we are baptized, our sins die. They're dead. It is the outward expression of something that's already happened spiritually. And we have no way of telling people that my sins are gone except for these types of public displays. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. No more childish behavior from any of you. It's time to grow up. Those of you who've been baptized, no more childish behavior. It's past time to grow up. It's past time for us to speak of the things of God. To hold in and trust in Him. That your sins are forgiven, and that's no small thing. It's not like God shook a little bit of Tinkerbell's pixie dust on us. He crucified his son for us.
Amen.
It's a big, big deal. Baptism is not to be taken lightly. There's very few decisions that we truly get to make in our lives. Very few. Most of our decisions are going to be dictated to us. We are always asking young people, what do you want to do when you grow up? The true answer, they're going to do what life dictates that they will do. Oh, there might be some that make some certain movements and certain changes in behavior based on what they feel like God wants them to do or what their heart wants to do. But most of us wind up doing what we need to do to put bread on the table. There's very few young people that I say, what do you want to do? I want to be a roofer when I grow up. Very few. But there's a lot of roofers out there. Very few people that say, I want to hang sheetrock when I grow up. Or, I want to work at McDonald's when I grow up. Very few. Very, very few. But that's what we wind up doing. Because life dictates it. Because we not only have the things we want to do, but we have to eat, too. So when you become that new creation in Christ, you don't become the new creation on the outside. But you become new inside. And you're a new creation no matter what you're doing. If you're working at McDonald's, you're a new creation. If you're working as a roofer, you're a new creation. If you're one of those people that's, I'm just going to community college right now until things open up at the university because I want to get a degree. If you're that guy, and you're kind of stuck in the middle and you're working, well, I'm not really where I want to be, but I want to, if you're not there, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're still a new creation. When you're having trouble in your marriage, you're still a new creation. When you're having trouble with your in-laws, you're still a new creation. When you're having problems with your boss, you're still a new creation. You don't get to take your new creation and set it aside and act like the devil for a week, a day, or an hour, or even a minute. You're going to be a new creation. How does that happen? That happens by messing up repeatedly and then biting your tongue and apologizing and fixing it. You say, well, that other person apologized to me because they're worse than I am. They probably are worse than you. But you apologize because you're setting the standard, not for them, not for your children, but for yourself in the eyes of God. That's what baptized believers do. How many of y'all have been baptized? Raise your hand. Okay. Put your hands down because I don't want to draw attention to those who didn't put their hands up. But I want to say this. For every one of you, this applies. Every one of you. You're a new creation. A lot of people think, well, if I get baptized, that means I can't smoke anymore, I can't drink beer anymore, I can't say any more swear words. You know, and we come up with this list of a bunch of manifest behaviors that once I'm baptized, I can't do. Well, I want you to take all those things, all those manifest behaviors, and I want you to take that list that you've got in your mind, and I want you to fold it up, wrinkle it up, light it on fire, and throw it away, because that's not what you need to change. What you need to change are the behaviors that are behind all behaviors. You see, Jesus Christ didn't die because you drank a beer. He died because there is hate. He died because people refused to love one another and to be kind. He died for our sin because we deny mercy and forgiveness and grace to one another. So if you're looking for changes that you want to make in your lifetime, make those changes. Extend mercy, forgiveness to yourself and others, and give grace. Do that, and all things will fall into order for you. Is it a trial? You betcha. When you come out of the water today, will these things be easy? Absolutely not. They may even be harder. Because the devil's going to be working on you. Take it as your time in the wilderness and grow past it. Baptism is not a pledge to quit smoking. It's a pledge to forgive yourself and others. Going beneath the baptismal waters is a promise to give grace to those who offend you, because you know that God will deliver the vengeance that's due you, and you don't have to carry that nasty baggage anymore. If it stinks, leave it behind. The Bible doesn't say God never swears. It says He never lies. It says He is merciful. It says He is love. And if we are willing to believe and apply the big things in our lives, all those little things, all those manifest sins, they're all going to take care of themselves. Take mercy, forgiveness, and grace, and love as your big ones. Just do those, and everything else will work out. The picture, though, of baptism is not that you go down into the water and stay there. The picture is that you go down into the water, and there the person, the inner person, dies. The sin that's there dies. But then you rise up to a newness of life. So there's a new day that lies before you. When the world is crushing in and nothing is working out, and you think that your life is a waste of time, raise up your eyes. Look a little farther down the road. See what heaven brings. Our great grandson was just born. What a miracle. Our granddaughter gets married 4 or 5 years ago. And she says to Colleen and I, she said, "It is so great to have you for an example that marriage can work." Fortunately, she told that to Colleen so that Colleen could feel bad about all those times she thought of shooting me or holding a pillow over my snoring head. Well, you've got to keep your eyes farther down the road. Because if you walk in and focus on the little problems that you have right now, your marriage won't make it. You won't make it as a Christian. If you're stuck in today, you're going to die in today. But if you keep your eyes farther, and when things get hot and heated, look farther. And when they get worse, look even farther. Look as far as you need to, because when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen.
I'm a little off my notes, but I want to go to slide number 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. When you go in this water today, guys, you're being set free from your sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Somebody might say, well, you have to be baptized to be saved? And this is my answer to that. Jesus was baptized. The disciples were baptized. The New Testament teaches it repeatedly. Why would you think you don't need to be baptized? If you believe in Jesus Christ and you have prayed to receive him as your Lord and Savior, if you trust God to forgive you your sins, if you expect the Holy Spirit to guide you, why wouldn't you want to be baptized? Why wouldn't you enthusiastically and wholeheartedly just run to be baptized? Why wouldn't you want the whole world to know that you're a Christian? People say, well, I'm waiting until the right time. Well, might I suggest that the right time is now? In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38, there's a story about one of the apostles, Philip, and the Holy Spirit told him to do something crazy. Told him to see that chariot over there? He's like, yeah. I want you to run alongside that chariot and talk to the guy that's in it. Okay? So Philip takes off and he goes running. And so Philip asks the guy in the chariot, he's an Ethiopian. So, what color is his skin? Dark. He's Ethiopian. This is not a white man's religion. This is everybody's religion. And so, Philip is talking to this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, and the guy is reading the scripture, and he's got some questions. It just so happens Philip has some answers. So Philip explains some stuff. And then verse 36 says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." So, when is the right time? When there's water close by. My desire for each and every one of you today is that you would understand that God is not far off. That he is close. That he is right here with us. He is baptizing into Jesus. And as you identify with him and you baptize into that water, praise be to God. So, I want to first ask all of you to come up, except Emily. Can you hand her off to somebody? Because I want to get a picture of everybody. So just gather around down here so Amy can get your picture. I think that would be good. Everybody just get out of the mix. Okay. So, Lori, if you want to take some pictures wherever you went. Oh, taking pictures. Okay.
Is the sacrifice for my sins and Savior. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God.
And all that's true?
Amen.
Okay. Would you sit down? Just cross your arms. Hold it up if you want.
About your wife.
And so, we'll see if it's water. Okay, everybody hold your breath. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I believe in God as the Creator, and He loves me. I believe Jesus is the sacrifice for my sins and my Savior. I believe the Bible is the Word of God.
You believe all that to be true? And you're ready to be baptized? You know, it's not an easy thing. Baptism doesn't fix anything. Baptism is a part of the journey. It's one more step in the way of righteousness. You ready? Okay. Would you please sit down? Okay. Jane Coulter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
didn't hold.
I'll hold you in there a minute then. Francisca Garcia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Was created?
I do.
Do you believe God loves you?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?
I do.
Is Jesus Christ your Savior?
He is.
Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?
I do.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Then there's no reason to not baptize you.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Please.
I just ask God right now to give me the strength and the courage to do His will and not my mistake. I know that I won't do it perfectly. And I know that this is not going to fix everything. But this gives me a hope. And I know that Jesus loves me. Amen.
Robin Taylor, baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the